Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Pie in the Sky Media. This series contains adult language and descriptions of graphic violence throughout. Listener discretion is advised.
I mean, come, right, hold on. We'll get there. All right. Okay. 3, 2, 1. Welcome back, Murder Chronicles Nation. Welcome to the episode of your nightmares. That would be a murderous clown showing up at your door with fucking balloons and flowers. Okay, anyway.
You're the greatest, Brandon!
Anyway, before we get to that, my name is Brandon. I have produced the show alongside the great Carolyn Osorio, who we are lucky enough to have with us again this week. Hello, Carolyn. Nice to see you.
Hello, Brandon. Nice to see you.
How's your week?
Busy, but great.
Terrific.
Really great.
Good to hear.
What about you? What about you?
Same. I'd rather be busy than bored, you know? So no complaints. Down in San Diego for a family wedding, which was...
Over the weekend?
Over the weekend, yeah. I actually didn't get to enjoy it as much. Both of my daughters are volleyball players, so that's... It's kind of like akin to like, you know, travel soccer, where that's like kind of your whole world. So there were tryouts. So I actually from LA drove down to San Diego in the morning, went to the wedding and drove back that night so we could be at tryouts early the next morning in LA. So it was a long one day for me, but my wife got to spend a couple of nights down there and enjoy the hotel and the spa and all that with her sisters. So it was great. It worked out all the way around. I don't like being around people that much. Yeah, I don't like big crowds that much. So I was happy to leave.
You know what? I avoid them like the plague.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was strange because it was my wife's second cousin. So my wife's cousin's daughter. Mm-hmm. I was getting married. Okay. And my wife and I, we've been together 25 years. And so I've known these girls that were getting married since they were toddlers.
And so they're your little nieces.
Kind of.
No, they're cousins.
They're like... second cousins once removed or third cousins. I don't know what it is, but you know, family and, you know, Southern California family. So we see them pretty regularly and just seeing how they've grown up and, you know, they were teenagers at my wedding, you know, and then now we're there and, you know, her older sister got married 2 years ago and Olivia just got married now and married great dudes, great families, like really good people. And so yeah, it was nice to see. It was a lot of fun.
That's great.
Yeah. So I can't wait anymore. I can't wait anymore. So I you got to keep Springsteen's name out of your mouth, first of all. Okay. Unless
I saw Springsteen. I'm like, oh, you know, I'm putting that in here.
Unless it's followed by the savior of rock and roll. Okay.
Keep Springsteen's name out, Joe.
Yeah, you're damn right you should.
I wish I would have done that full thing because you were going to spit up that soda.
I would have. I might have. But no, fun. I'm kidding. I just don't like, I'm not a big fan of, well, I'll hold off on that. But I didn't know, I'd love to know when Springsteen lived down there, first of all, actually.
It was just a fact.
Like when he had when he had a house. Like, I wonder if it's horse country down there because his daughter,
is
massive equestrian Olympian, silver medalist.
I didn't know that, but that is exactly it.
Oh, really?
Yes, it's like, yes, equestrian stuff is very, yeah, bingo.
Okay, so that makes sense. That makes sense. And also, you know, Miami's, they call it the sixth borough, right? Because everybody from New York, you know, retires to Miami, you know. It's either the sixth borough or God's waiting room is what also they call South Florida.
I love come and go to Florida. I'm all fun here.
But no, I love Miami, man. I love Miami. I've had some fun in Miami. But so that's interesting. All right, so Wellington, Florida. So you mentioned it, that it was a unique community. And I thought it was just going to be because rich people live there. But no, this is, it's not like I live on a lake. No, I live on a golf course. No, I live on a private airport. Like that's how rich I am. Okay.
That's next level.
Yeah. I'm in a private jet community. Holy shit. That would be pretty cool though. You know,
if you loved flying, absolutely. You're like, Hey son, taxi out the airplane, like grab the rope. Let's tow it out there. If you were into that kind of thing, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. I was involved briefly in this other podcast, this limited series that I was going to do that fell apart. And it was about it was strange. It was a comedy about the true story of a failed military kind of exercise, kind of under the radar, unsanctioned, foolish kind of bullshit. But the guy who was in charge of it, somewhere in the middle of Central Florida, recreated the airstrip that they were going to be trying to attack, right? And like dug out a pond for the water near the airstrip and was like running these military drills like in real time. Like,
just
this
for
is
fun? Just
no,
for fun?
To train. They're like, here's like almost the exact environment that we're going to be in, right? This is the length of the airstrip. This is where the water is. This is where the buildings are. Yeah. And he did all that. So I guess there's just a lot of land in Florida where you could just, because it's all flat. It's perfect for airstrips, right? I mean,
well, when I was looking at like photos, it's so like green and like that brilliant green grass.
Yeah.
It's just so beautiful. And it's like just forever,
yeah.
You know? And then then these backyards, it's like, it's hard to describe like the opulence of that,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And just
because
Florida.
I've never heard of someone having a backyard that was a shared airstrip.
yeah. Well, like the highest elevation in Florida is like 6 inches or so. I mean, it's not, it's more than that, but it's like a very flat place. And like drug cartels have been cutting airstrips in there in Florida forever. Like there was that movie American Made that was great when you would just fucking land anywhere. But yeah. Yeah. So airstrip community, airport community in Florida, that's a new one on me. I found that pretty interesting. So now we go to, Mike and Marlene Warren. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Together a long time.
Yeah.
Together a long time. And rich. Mm-hmm. And rich. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting hearing their voices.
Mm-hmm.
Because give them all the money in the world and it's great. And this is not at all, I'm not throwing shade or any aspersions as to their intellectual capacity. But what I'm saying is that if you didn't know that they were like multimillionaires, you would think that they were just normal, like around the way kids from Florida. Okay. Mm-hmm. Speaking in the local vernacular with the local accent, with the local everything. They just happened to own tons of fucking apartment buildings and a really successful, you know, car dealership. Okay. But you know, it was interesting. And then, as that was kind of becoming apparent to me, then you hear the detectives talking similarly, right? Like and I don't know if that was a means to like create some kind of relationship. Like the cop was like, all right, I'm going to talk the way you talk. Or if it was just a local cop who happened to have the same mannerisms and the same manner of speech, whatever. But it was interesting. It was a little bit of like backwoods Central Florida hick coming out.
You know, what I liked about it, because the audio was absolutely terrible.
Oh, dog shit.
Let me just say that.
Yeah.
It was dog shit.
Yeah.
But I love that flavor because it really gives you the immediacy of what was happening and then the dynamics going on, like especially with Sheila and her interview.
Sheila is a fucking stone wall. Like she gives nothing. Nope, nothing. I'm sure it wasn't me. Nah, absolutely not. Everybody picked out a picture of you. Everybody. Nope, wasn't me. Wow. I'm interested.
I was really impressed with that.
So was I. Yeah.
But she was also, while at the same time, flirting if you can. Like,
yeah,
you pick that up. Like, wow, she really is like trying to kind of, and it sounds like that's what her personality was. Like she was, you know, she could, she was really pretty, but she could also be like, you know, tomboy or whatever, you know, I don't even know.
Androgynous, described as androgynous.
But that she could hold her own and was able to, you know, handle, you know, have conversations with men and women. And, you know, I mean, that's an engaging personality.
Yeah.
And she was clearly trying to use that in her interview.
Yeah. Yeah, I agreed. And so Mike had the business, a car rental business, right? And also sold used cars.
Yes.
And repossessed cars that he would sell. So I guess he offered in-house financing just to fuck people over as much as he could, right? Because that's how you know you're screwed. Oh, no credit, no whatever. Okay, you owe $9,000 a month.
I know.
For an 82 Datsun. It was crazy.
And then, like, the description of his personality of, like, talking somebody through that. Like,
he could talk you out of your pants. Right.
But, like, one of the interviews that I had was, like, this really hot Camaro that this woman wanted. And it was, like, there was only two in the state. And it was, like, back in the day where there was, like, T-tops and, like, velour burgundy.
The best days of American automobiles. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Right. And so he had like, she was doing these payments. It was like a weekly thing. And he was holding the insurance. Like, because when you have a dealership, you just have to have insurance anyway, right? Yeah. For all the cars.
Yeah.
But then he was charging her insurance on top of that, plus these exorbitant payments. And it was just like, you know, she wanted to drive a cool car.
Yeah, man, who doesn't?
And then they ended up stealing the car, allegedly.
I had a Camaro when I was 19. It was awesome.
Of course you did.
It was fucking awesome. Anyway, but regardless.
Wait a second. What color?
It was like metallic light blue. It was nice. I'm telling you, it was nice.
How did you end up getting that?
Early 70s. You know, I got an eye for this shit. Don't worry about it. Okay.
Okay, did you work on it?
I didn't work on it. My roommate at the time was a mechanic, and the reason I bought it was because he said I could fix it for you, and he did. And it was great. It was great. Girls loved it. So, all right.
That's the most. So you would have been at that lot talking to Mike,
paying $9,000 a month, for a T-top.
Actually, that's probably something you'd get murdered for because they'd come and try to take your car away.
I would have run into Marlene. I'd been running from Marlene, the repo woman, right? So now we get to okay.
But I thought, hold on 1 second. I just have to say one of the things that I liked about this story and what I like in general, like reporting and just in movies and things like that is subcultures that you're not really aware of. And like, so this whole repoing thing, I didn't know a lot about it. So this idea that, you know, you have a connection with the dealership and then there's a list and you don't get paid unless you get the car. So you're competing with all of these other repo people who are trying to get, and then you get like $100, which back in the 1990s, I think that would have been like, maybe like 300, right?
Yeah, you do two or three of those a day and you're doing fine. So it's a pretty cutthroat business. As soon as it goes out on the repo wire, right, that this person is in default and you have like really
the repo wire.
Right. You have the repo people have it would surprise you the kind of the legal protection that they have to go and take your shit. Right. They're acting like on behalf of the bank and they're legally able to like some Fourth Amendment stuff gets relinquished. Like they could go into your car. How do I know this? So there, I'm exposing a dirty secret of mine. Every now and then I'll go down these YouTube rabbit holes on.
Oh my God. Right?
Like the algorithm will spit out like a bounty hunter video. right? Where like, whoa, this like karate guy fights off a bounty hunter. And it's like, and it's real. You're like, holy shit, that's insane. And then like,
that is your algorithm. Yeah. Oh my. Right. Is there really a video that involves karate and repoing?
I'll send it to you. You'll love it. It's hypnotic. You can't look away. Don't. You can't look away. All right. And then it's like, hey, if you like this, click this one. And it's like, you know, guy goes crazy when his car gets hooked up by the repo guy and it's nuts. You're like, holy shit, these repo people are fucking insane. Like sometimes they go through some shit where it's like, they could, someone's going to pull a gun on you. Take my car off the truck or I'm going to shoot you kind of shit. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was, like I'm saying, like, you don't like when you get into like, cause one time when I was driving home from work, I was on the freeway right in Seattle and all of a sudden my transmission just went out.
Yeah.
So I got over the corner and the repo or the guy came and picked me up and, you know, was towing my car. And so I was in driving alongside of him with his speaker and I mean, not his speaker, but his like CD or whatever. Oh, yeah. And so of course we were talking and the, you know, calls were coming in. And so I kind of had this bird's eye view into, and I didn't end up doing a story on it, but it was pretty exciting, you know, for whatever the hour that I was with him, we drove through traffic.
So I lived in that very strange YouTube world for probably like a week, you know, just like before bed or, you know, toilet time, whatever, you know what I mean? I'm watching videos. Oh, wow. I'm the only guy that does it. All right, whatever. Oh. And the one
I already have a husband, okay?
So you know what I'm talking about. Right. So the videos that are well done, the repo videos that are well done, there's like there's music, right? And there's in the editing, which gets you like the adrenaline, like, holy shit, what if the guy comes out before the car's on the truck? Oh shit, oh shit. Like it's really anxiety inducing, you know? Yeah. So it's a thing.
And then you have this couple, Mike and Sheila.
Well, they're not really. Allegedly. You have Mike.
Right. So they're like, that's how they connect, right? They're like, let's go do a job together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's go repo this fucking car. Yeah. Then we'll get in the car and we'll do it.
And they're driving and they're like talking about it. It's like really exciting.
Because
and they're like,
let's face it, people. 1990 is basically the 80s. It's technically the 80s, but it's the 80s culturally also, right? Yeah. Right. So all that shit was going on.
Better music in the 90s.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, probably.
From my perspective, yeah.
Listen, 90s gave us Eminem, gave us grunge. So there's some good stuff from the 90s.
I know, absolutely.
Yeah, there's some good stuff from the 90s.
Okay, so they're in the cockpit together. They're just totally
right. There's these two young kids.
There's like the gear shift between them.
Right, they're together for 20 years.
He's driving.
They keep it new by repossessing people's property. Okay.
Like, no, I'm talking about Sheila.
Hold on, Sheila. We don't know about Mike. Sheila and Mike. I'm talking about Mike and Marlene. Mike is a workaholic, allegedly. It could have been a ruse for some sexual proclivities. Who knows? I probably it is. Apparently, he was a good talker, and chicks dug him. Marlene is out, you know, repoing vehicles. I mean, and that tells you something.
Wait a second. Marlene is not. Marlene's doing the apartments. Sheila is the repo.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. That's what I thought I was saying. I'm sorry. Forgive me.
So, get it right,
I know. Mike and his women. Marlene is doing all of the apartment stuff. Okay. And I worked in that business for a minute. I worked in property management. Right. And it's no picnic. Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, people have there's issues, like legitimate issues, like especially when it rains, everyone's got leaks or. Like,
yeah. It's so funny because my husband had this, like, one of his dreams was to have a bunch of properties. And so we got a fourplex. Mm-hmm. And that is where we learned that we are not management. One of them was like, there was a hoarder who lived up top. Mm-hmm. And then we just had people like taking advantage of us. And we're like, I mean, anyway, we're just not.
See, that's not, why. You give up 6% of your rent and you hire a company that manages your buildings for you. That was the company that I worked for. I worked for the owners.
But see, when you're a ma and pa and you're just starting out, you got to do all that.
Yeah,
you know, absolutely. You got to do Anyway, we lost 20,000, but we sold it within a year, and we were grateful to walk away losing 20,000. You know,
wow,
because it was just too much. You know, it was too much.
Yeah, I hear you. So you just killed your husband's dreams. All right, good for you. Okay, well done.
Hey, you know what? Here's the thing. He got to experience that
and realize that it wasn't his dream anymore. Okay.
And he was at the end of it. He was like, "You're right." Okay. And I was like, "Hey, it was 20,000. Absolutely."
So then comes the fateful day, where Mike has, in my opinion, a manufactured alibi. Because he's in the car going to Miami. And I know I'm casting some aspersions here, but that's fine. And there's a knock at the door. And it's a fucking clown.
Mm-hmm.
And he shoots Marlene in the face. And then oddly doesn't run away, just kind of walks away, according, right? He's not like fleeing the crime scene.
He's in full control.
Just in his goofy fucking clown suit, right? No longer with the balloons and the flowers. Just with the gun, I guess, because he left with the gun. Gets in in the most 80s car that there is, a white LeBaron. No.
Okay. I think it was like you could roll the top back.
Oh,
I think.
Yeah, yeah. Convertible LeBaron is no joke. Okay. And then drives off. And the son tries to chase him down and can't find him. And the other son calls the ambulance. So now it's who's the clown? Right? Like that's obviously the question is who is this guy? All he saw was the brown eyes. I'm assuming that that's going to come up later because you kind of hung a lantern on it in the first episode. So I'm sure part two that the brown eyes will have something.
Well, hold on 1 second. What did you think as it was unfolding? What did you think was going to happen with the clown?
I knew the clown was going to murder her. Like, did I?
Oh, you did?
Oh, yeah, of course. An unannounced clown shows up to your house. I'm not answering the fucking door. Are you kidding me?
So you have chlorophobia.
No, I don't have chlorophobia. I have unannounced guests at my house in costume.
Chlorophobia.
Like, if a dude shows up, you know, wearing a priest outfit, I'm calling the cops. Okay? Like,
are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you.
What would you do?
I would say, get off my property or I'm calling the police. If a clown shows up at my house in full makeup, come on.
You know what? I'm curious. Like, what would you do? No, I didn't know. I'm asking.
No way. What asshole would send someone a clown gram or something? Like, haha, I'm going to send this dude a clown as like a joke. No, it's not funny.
No, but she liked clowns.
Right.
So I could see her being like, everybody knows that I like clowns.
And that's super weird, you know? Too, that she likes clowns. That's also weird. But look, again, everyone has their kink. I guess that was hers. But I wouldn't be – just because someone's in a clown, just because it's a clown suit, okay, I draw no distinction between that and like a hockey mask or like a horror mask or something. You're still – they're hiding their identity for a reason. Okay.
Well, it's just, what if it's Halloween? I was just, as you said that, I was reminded when there was one time Halloween, when my son.
Halloween's little kids. I could beat the crap out of little kids if they decide to riot on my house. Like, I could handle that. Send me all the 11-year-olds you want. All right. Mm-hmm. And I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. All right. But a grown up, okay, concealing his identity in the middle of the day when it's not Halloween, you're not answering the door. Come on.
Okay, well, you've been a big talker about your karate for like 2 years now. So I'm just surprised that you're not pulling that out. Like, hold on. Is that all talk?
Of course it's all talk. But what I specifically said was all men think that karate lives within them somewhere and that it's just waiting to be like awakened. It's never been awakened in me yet. Maybe I just haven't been in the right
situation.
Maybe I haven't been in the right situation. Okay. I had a boss at a job that I worked in the service industry. And my age, from kind of where I'm from, smart guy, great with guests. But something must have happened to him as a kid Like, he must have been bullied or something, because he was so quick to anger and so quick to defend just innocuous remarks that you get in the service industry. People hurl
shit. Defensive.
Just people hurl shit at you all the time. And he's like, whoa! And he would strike this pose, and he'd get in a crouched combat position, and he'd strike this karate pose. And I'd seen him do it dozens of times. And every time, the person on the receiving end would laugh because it was funny. He would break into this karate pose like this, right? Like, he was ready to fucking throw down at a moment's notice. All right. And
well, was it an awkward laugh? That seems like a really awkward
and like, what?
Laughing because we don't know what to do.
And it would work. I don't know if it was like, I'm going to show you that I'm crazy and you're going to walk away, but he never had to use it. He never issued one karate strike since I'd known him, but he was apparently very, very highly trained in martial arts. And and took.
I don't know what's creepier, the clown or this guy.
The guy. It was weird. It was weird. He took zero shit from anybody. But who cares, right? You're in the service industry. You're going to take some shit from people because it'll last 2 seconds and then they're gone. Like, and who cares? Yeah. But even the smallest perceived slight would get this very aggressive response.
I don't know how he continued to work in that.
He didn't for long.
Like, as somebody who's worked in the service industry, you can't do that. Yeah. I mean, you have people like treating you like crap left and right.
Constantly. I know, all the time. So, but the thing about it is that very similar to the bounty hunter karate video, right?
Oh my gosh, you had to bring it up.
Here's what's similar, for real. Yeah. The bounty hunter guy knew that this fucking guy was serious and wouldn't go near him. Made him cuff himself, like wouldn't go anywhere near him because he's like, dude, you could probably fuck me up. I could tell by looking at you. Because the karate guy was super calm and just had his guard up for a second. He's like, I'm not going anywhere with you. He goes, yes, you are. Pulled out a taser. The guy didn't give a shit. Like, it was gnarly. And so people that would run into my old boss when he would do his karate stuff, they'd be like, okay, this guy probably means it. And he could probably really fuck me up. So I'm just going to walk away and laugh and be like, wow, this weird karate guy actually kind of scared me a little bit. So in that respect, you know, peace through strength, right? He didn't have to use
peace through crazy. People walk away from crazy.
People will walk away from crazy.
This is uncomfortable because you don't know what you're dealing
absolutely.
With.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's like with the clown. I guess maybe that's why people, you can't see their emotions. You can't see their facial expressions. And so you don't know what their intention is.
Not only can you not see their emotions, you are force-fed. Unless it's a sad clown, but generally you're force fed a painted on smile. Okay. So it's probably their emotions are anything but what you're seeing. So it's like you're constantly, being lied to when you're in the presence of a clown, which is weird. Right.
This is really deep. This is crazy because I had to look up my definition of a clown in Scientific American, and you just pulled that shit out of your pocket. Oh. Right. Like, you're really like,
and here's the other thing. I know clowns. I know a couple professional clowns. I know a clown troupe. And one of the most talented people I've ever worked with is this kid named Matt Morgan. Okay. No relation. And
any relation?
No relation. And he's got a big Vegas show now. If anyone, I wish I knew what it was called, because I'd pitch it for, I'd plug it for him. But we're busting on clowns, but they're generally a very, very talented group of artists, right? Like Steve-O, from Jackass. Steve-O was a guest on a podcast that I used to do with a Navy SEAL, okay? And the Navy SEAL and Steve-O were talking, and they found so much common ground in the selection process to become a Navy SEAL as it is to become a Ringling Brothers Circus clown. Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How very few are chosen, how many try out, how easy it is to fail out of it, right? How it messes people up emotionally, all that. So that was a really, really interesting episode.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, that's a subculture, clowns, that I don't know really anything about. But I just don't like clowns because I don't like to have to be uncomfortable when I'm supposed to be entertained. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if I don't find something funny or if I don't, you know, I don't like that.
Yeah,
I don't like to be put on the spot with my like entertainment. Like
it's
kind of weird.
I don't either. I don't like to be expectations on my entertainers. Yeah. I don't like it.
Exactly. Yep. Yes.
But so let's talk about Sheila now.
Okay.
Sheila is the employee. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of evidence and speculation that her relationship with Mike went beyond the employer-employee relationship. Okay.
Yes.
I think it's fair to say that without, in the absence of proof or, you know, an admission, I would lean in that direction. Okay. I would lean in that direction.
I mean, I think that the woman who was describing the podium.
The podium story. There you go. Of course. Okay. Yeah. That and other things as well. And then the fact that, and when she was being interviewed and the cop was like, why kill her? Right. Why not kill him? She's like, yeah, why not kill him? Like she was being very like accommodating during the interviews, which I found kind of interesting, but still ice cold. She didn't give up anything. Must've been really, I'm really interested for part two to see where the interrogation of her goes and what the end result is.
I thought she was super manipulative. Mm. That's what I got out of that. She was working them just as hard as they were working her. And I think that she was laughing and like directing the conversation, but then she showed a different side of her personality where she would act like, you know, like you said, Iron Maiden. She wasn't going to admit anything.
Right. Nothing. Nothing. So, but then they catch a break, right? Because again, most of the time you could rely on the stupidity of criminals. Like we have this great idea, whoever the shooter's going to be, is going to dress up as a clown. Let's go to a local store and buy a clown costume before it happens. And let's go to even the store down the street for the one place where you can get this balloon and the flowers.
I know. It doesn't add up. Like if it was her that did it, why would she do that?
Stupid.
You know, because she kept the person who was the clown kept their cool, you know, didn't run away, you know, they had a getaway car,
right.
You know, I mean, it just seems like,
so I'm just trying to think about who they would get, right? I'm trying to think about if the trigger man is someone that we already know, a character that we heard about in part one. So we've got Mike and Marlene. Mike's on his way to Miami. All right, then we've got Sheila and Sheila's husband. Do we have his name?
Richard.
Sheila and Richard, right?
Which they were throwing him under the bus.
They were throwing Richard under the bus, right?
Yeah.
But Richard wouldn't benefit from Marlene's death, right?
No.
He wouldn't.
I mean, there's something more that we don't know about,
In fact, Richard would... If he were truly in love with Sheila and wanted to stay together, it would be less likely with Marlene out of the way that Sheila would stick to the marriage because Mike would be available.
Mm-hmm.
Right. All things being equal. So,
exactly. Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, that's why the police were like, why would she do that?
Right.
I mean, they didn't even pretend like, okay, let's butter her up and go down this rabbit hole with her that doesn't even make sense just to build rapport.
Right.
Like it doesn't even make
so
sense.
So in my mind, Richard would be cleared. But I'm not a cop and I probably shouldn't be. But I would stop looking at Richard as the trigger man and I would look at just someone that would also benefit.
Mm-hmm.
If Sheila just wants to be with Mike, let's just say that's what it is. Mike is some a magic kind of dude and everybody wants to be with him. And Sheila's like, I'm willing to kill for this. So she would benefit just romantically. And financially, because he's going to get all fucking money and blah, blah, and all that. But who else would be willing, unless it was just a murder for hire? It was just a murder for hire plot, right? And the killer's like, yeah, but I need a really cool disguise. All right, like what kind of disguise? Clown, I think would be cool. But not the shoes, because the shoes are stupid. Okay, so,
I know. Why wouldn't you get the shoes?
Because he probably could. Like, have you ever tried running in clown shoes? I have. It's really difficult.
Wait a second. Are you kidding? You're a clown the entire time.
It's like the flippers when you're scuba diving. You have to walk backwards in clown shoes, right? Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm really like, I'm interested for part two because I would bet everything that Sheila is guilty of something in this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about Mike?
Oh yeah. I didn't. Man, does Mike have brown eyes?
I think he does.
Huh. If he weren't halfway to Miami, I would say maybe that was Mike in the clown suit. But wouldn't his kid recognize just at least how his dad walks if he wasn't walking funny in clown shoes, like just a normal walk? I would recognize my father walking, you know, just his gait that I've known my whole life. We'll see. But listen, here's what I know for sure. Sheila bought the clown suit. Mm-hmm. Sheila bought the balloons. Sheila bought the flowers, right? I would bet on that just because of eyewitnesses. Everyone picked her out. Right. Without exception, she was picked out of these photo arrays of employees. So that's what I would think. But anyway, I'm interested in and can't wait actually for part two. I don't like when you do these two parters just because I have to wait and I want answers. But I can wait. How did you find this story, by the way?
You know, I was just I'd heard about it. Mm-hmm. And there is a solution to it. And so it was, I don't want to give too much away, but I'd heard about it in the past. And then I heard that there was a resolution. And so I was like, part of the reason why it's become kind of an urban legend is because like a clown, like who does this?
Right.
You know, who goes and knocks on someone's door, doesn't say a word, and then shoots you point blank in the face.
Yeah.
I mean, that's terrifying.
Yeah, it's...
And so it stayed in the minds of the community and just beyond that, because it's just so scary. And especially because now, I don't know if you've seen on the news, where there'll be these sightings of people who dress up as clowns,
and they're scary.
People can't take it. They're like, why are you doing this?
See, if only he had gotten the shoes, worn sunglasses, and like stolen a kid's bike as his getaway vehicle, it would have been the perfect crime. With a little ring, 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 like on the handlebar as he was leaving. Because it's the brown eyes, the boots, and the car that are probably gonna burn him, is what I would think. But anyway, well, hey, great job. Thank you. Looking forward to next week. And thank you for everybody listening to joining us again for another bonus episode of the Murder Chronicles. Please consider patronizing the wonderful companies that support us. We can't do this without them. If you have a moment, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a rate and a review, and maybe share with your friends if you are so inclined. Carolyn, thank you again for all your hard work. Anything you'd like to add?
And thank you, Brando, for all of your hard work. I'm Carolyn Osorio with the greatest. You're the greatest, Brandon Morgan. And we'll see you next time.
Thanks, everybody. Until then, stay safe.
The Murder Chronicles is a Pie in the Sky production recorded live in the beautiful Pacific Northwest. We are produced by Brandon Morgan and myself, music by Soundstripe. For Pie in the Sky Media, I'm Carolyn Osorio, your writer and host. Thanks for listening.
Hello, the world. We are They Will Kill, a true crime podcast. I'm Courtney Eck.
And I'm Sadie Eck. And we are sisters that want to tell you about lesser-known murders.
Our cases are always compelling, maybe even a little scary, with just enough banter to keep it interesting.
You can find us at theywillkill.com.
Or anywhere you listen to podcasts. See you there.
See ya.